It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
All right, well, welcome to Nighttime at Noon. The day after for the Golden Knights, Dave Gosher along with Gary Lawless coming to you from our Lotus Studios today as the Golden Knights season comes to an end last night, losing in the Western Conference Final in five games to the Dallas Stars. They lose it in overtime, a stunning end to their season. Let's hear from Pete DeBoer right off the bat, some of his post-game thoughts after last night's loss.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're not happy losing in the conference final. That wasn't the goal when we came here. There was a lot of work put in by these guys, you know, and to their credit, you know, never complained once. A lot of them, you know, we might have the most young kids on the team of any team in the league and, you know, never had one complaint or a crack in the commitment of the guys to pursue, you know, the goal of trying to win a Stanley Cup here. I thought our group was exceptional. And, I didn't even prepare something to talk to them about after the game tonight because I just didn't think we would lose. I felt even the games we lost here in the bubble, I felt we could win and we could have won. So, you know, it's the toughest trophy in hockey to win, and it's an unbelievably tough road. And, you know, we've got to learn some things from this about, you know, what works in the playoffs and how you score in the playoffs. I'm still getting used to and getting to know the group. But, you know, the goal of this team is to win a Stanley Cup, you know, and they're right in that window.
Well, that's the voice of Pete DeBoer and Gary. This team, at least we thought, they were primed in a really good spot to make a run for it this year. So there's a lot to unpack from last night, and now that this crazy season in all sorts of ways came to an end at the hands of the Dallas Stars.
Well, the first thing I would say, and some people will sort of maybe say, well, that's loser talk, but 27 other teams would have loved to have been playing last night. Like, to get to the conference final is an accomplishment, and it is, you're one of the four best teams, and at that point in time, everything kind of has to go right for you. And I'll take you to the Boston Bruins, where you worked. They won in 2011. How long were they good for prior to breaking through?
Yeah, they were good 3 or 4 years.
The Washington Capitals were good for a decade before they broke through. The Penguins have generational players in Crosby and Malkin. The Blackhawks, generational players as well in Taves and Kane. Vegas doesn't have any players at that, you know, crazy elite level. So it's a little different. But it, to me, this is how you win. You build. You get to be an elite team, and you knock on the door. And certainly, I think Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee and Pete DeBoer will all be looking in the mirror today, saying, "Okay, what went wrong? How do we get over to that next step?" Now, you know, people are upset, people are disappointed. They should be. This is a really good team that deserved the fanfare that it got and the expectations that come along with that. Did they choke? That's not a word I would attach to it. Dallas is really good. Dallas, and I don't believe any of this. We were better than them most of the time. Dallas beat them 4-1.
Yeah,
this wasn't close.
No,
the scores were close, but at the end of the day, you winning the game. There are elements that you have to have within your makeup that allow you to win close games, and Vegas didn't win the close games in this series. Dallas did. And, you know, I think you can point to a whole bunch of things that, you know, the penalty kill went south on them last night. The power play went south on them in this series. Pacioretty didn't get a goal in the series. Marchessault didn't get a goal in the series. Five games, not a goal from either of those guys. normally you would expect two from Pacioretty over five games, and you'd expect two from Marchessault over five games. We had four more goals to the Golden Knights package, and we're talking about waiting and being ready for Tampa. That did not unfold. It didn't happen. Are the Golden Knights broken? Absolutely not. Do they have some things to fix and some adjustments to make? For sure. Kelly McCrimmon pushed a lot of chips in here to get to this point. And, you know, some have said that, you know, they got nothing for what they did. Well, I don't believe that. I think they got experience. They've been in the Western Conference Final twice in their three-year existence.
There's two teams in the league that have gone to the conference final twice in the last 3 years, Vegas and Tampa.
Yeah. So, we just talked about, you know, knocking on the door. Well, this Tampa team has it's currently constructed. How close have they been, right? Yeah. You know, the Stars, Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin, they've been doing it in Dallas since, like, you know, well, Seguin got there in 12?
8, 9 years now.
Summer of 11, right after the Cup? When did they trade him?
Yeah, summer, that's, yeah. No, after 13.
After 13?
After they lost to Chicago
sure.
in 13.
Yeah. So, but like, you know, 7 years.
Yeah.
There's 31 teams, soon to be 32. Everybody's trying to win. And everything has to go right for you. Did Vegas make mistakes? Yeah, I think so. I think they'll look back at how they handled a few things and they'll realize that maybe they could have done that a little bit better. Did it affect them? Did not playing Marc-Andre Fleury affect the Golden Knights? I don't think so. You know, did it affect the locker room? That was put to me last night by someone from Pittsburgh. They said guys will play harder for Fleury. I don't know if that's true. That's a big...
It's hard to prove that.
It's really hard to prove it. And goaltending wasn't their issue. No. Goal scoring was their issue.
Well, and that's the thing. Here's the thing. It feels like, to a degree, a missed opportunity because of the way the West lined up for them, right? They play Chicago. They play Vancouver. They play Dallas.
Yeah.
They avoided Colorado. In a roundabout way, with the health of the Avalanche... There's a part of me that thinks they might have been better off playing Colorado.
Well, you know what? You've heard me say this all the time. Be really careful about picking your poison.
Right.
And because I'll be honest with you, I thought Dallas was the easier path.
Yep.
And 4-1. Like, you know, not a sweep, but really close. And, you know, had Vegas have won last night again, you know, no crystal ball here, but that could have put some pressure on Dallas, could have freed some Golden Knights up. Dallas's best players looked hungry all the time, and they never looked nervous. Vegas, like, the Golden Knights were fragile. Every time Dallas scored a goal, and Dan Duva and I talked about this in the pregame show last night, there can't be a sag after Dallas scores, and there certainly was last night. After Jamie Benn scored that goal, you could feel it. You could feel it. And at the end of the game, like, they were lucky to get to overtime. Like I said on the radio to Dan, they got to get out of this period. They got to get to the dressing room. Well, they got to the dressing room, and really unfortunate penalty against Zach Whitecloud. But it's a penalty.
Right.
And you have to deal with that adversity. When that happened, I was like, it's over.
Well, when Paul Stastny broke his stick on the penalty kill in the middle of all that too, right?
That hurts.
That doesn't help. Yeah. So what happened? The offense dried up. They scored 10 goals on a goalie in their final 8 games of the playoffs.
Yeah.
They scored more than 2 goals once in the series. That was when they won game 2, 3-0. 4-1 goal losses. 2 of those decided in overtime. One of the things that Pete DeBoer touched on after the game, Gary, that it seemed like it was evident as they went on in the playoffs, the residual effect of struggling to score in the Vancouver series.
Yeah.
They were able to get by it. And I remember a lot of us, and myself included, felt, all right, they got through that. Enough of Thatcher Demko. Well, Anton Khudobin proved to be pretty darn good when he needed to be in net as well for the Stars. And the other area DeBoer pointed to, the blue paint at both ends of the ice. Yeah. Think about where Dallas's goals were scored last night, especially Kevin Ronta's tying goal.
We talked about this on the radio immediately after the game. You know, and conversely, where did Vegas score from? Right?
Right. Stevenson on a breakaway.
And a bomb just over the blue line from Smith, right?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And that you go back to game four, the 5-on-3, they got three shots all from 30 feet, right? Yeah. Like that... Craig Berube, he said it. We were in St. Louis earlier this year, and he said two really good teams, two big teams, two heavy teams. This comes down tonight to the blue ice at both ends. We got to keep them out of ours, and we got to get into theirs. And Dallas, Jamie Benn in particular, and Radulov, you know, like the goal, the Benn goal, where Radulov cross-checks Smith and knocks him on his can, Schmidt, and then that opens up the net and the opportunity for Benn. That's a microcosm of the series. Like Vegas is supposed to be big and physical and have all, you know, lead the game in hits, and that's physical. That's will, and that's in that particular goal. They bullied Vegas, and I think they bullied Vegas quite a bit in that area of the ice throughout the series.
Either you pay the price to score goals or you don't, right? Either you fight your way to the blue paint or you don't. They never were able to refine their offensive finish after that Vancouver series. It's something, Gary, that if you look back in the regular season, which seems like 100 years ago now, they led the league in shots per game. They were tied for 10th in goals.
Yeah.
So this is it isn't a new thing, and I think at times it was camouflage because they did score quite a bunch before they hit Game 5 against Vancouver.
Yeah.
And from that game and the final eight games of the playoffs, and you mentioned it earlier, Gary, it's worth kind of running down again. If your best players aren't going to do it, it makes it so difficult to win. Riley Smith broke a 10-game drought last night, no goals in the last 11 playoff games for Marcia. So Pacioretty, no goals in 8. Stone, 1 goal in 9. If those guys aren't going to do it, I know they're built on their depth. I understand all that.
Yeah, but depth is secondary.
Primary. That's the word I was looking for.
Primary, secondary, tertiary. Scoring. They need the primary scoring for sure, and they didn't get it. And you know, William Karlsson, I don't know what he shot, his shooting percentage in year one when he scored 43, but it was you know around 20 for big stretches of that season. He hasn't done it in terms of scoring with regularity since then. Marchessault had a down year last year and then, you know, struggled this year. They need some finish. And these are things that, listen, Kelly McCrimmon hasn't been asleep while he's been in Edmonton. So him and his pro scouting group and his amateur scouting group, they'll have been talking. And listen, if McCrimmon has shown anything, he is willing to make bold moves and to try and get better. And their window is still open. They'll need to tweak this roster. There will be. I'd be shocked if there isn't a big name or two that doesn't get moved out. I think you have young players, Glass, Higg, and I'll be really interested to see if Peyton Krebs is able to crack this lineup next year. They need some really high-end offensive players to help round out this group, and if they don't have them from within, McCrimmon has shown he'll try and go find them.
Power play killed them. You know, they're 3-for-23 in the series. I know they scored a power play goal, but the 5-on-3 in game 4.
Yeah.
Last night, they're up 1-0 in the second period. They have three consecutive power plays. Three consecutive power plays. And especially when you're struggling to score.
Yeah.
Could have changed the game.
Yeah.
Could have, should have, would have, all bad words. I get it. But when you're struggling to score, and they're up 1, you know, and DeBoer touched on this after the game, they never were able to really get that, other than game 2. Benn scores last night to make it 2-1. Max Pacioretty's got a great chance coming down the left side.
Yeah.
Scores there, it's 3-1, but they never were able to, but the power play, you know, especially last night where, and they didn't, 0-for-3 is 0-for-3, but didn't really generate any quality chances on it
either. No. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. They're going to draft 29th if Tampa wins that series. If the Islanders come back to win it, they'll draft 28th. So, don't expect there, you know, there's no Alex Lafreniere waiting to join them for next season. And I guess that's the other big question is when will next season start and what will it look like? Lots of unanswered questions, not just for the Golden Knights, but for the NHL.
Yeah, lots of unanswered questions, lots to unpack as well. Nighttime at noon, Dave Gosher, Gary Lawless with you on the day after for the Golden Knights. They were eliminated in the Western Conference Final by the Dallas Stars. We will take a look back at the series a bit more, take a look ahead as well, try to maybe prognosticate a little bit on what lies ahead for this team. It's nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Probably the last eight games, it felt like we were cursed around the net and nothing was going in. I think our defense did a good job supplying a lot of the offense through that stretch. And, as forwards, we just weren't able to help our team out in, those timely situations. So I feel like the onus is on us. We try to stay positive and stick to our game plan and try to keep grinding teams down. But it just seemed that no matter what we were doing, it just wasn't ending up in the back of the net. And it's kind of the tale of the story for the end of this playoffs for us. It's, I don't think we weren't outplaying other teams. It just, they were coming back and scoring a timely goal when we were all over them for long stretches. And those lulls killed us.
That is Riley Smith. He had one of the two goals for the Golden Knights last night. Turned out to be, scored their final goal of the season in the 3-2 overtime loss to the Dallas Stars. Dave Gosher, Gary Lawless with you on this Tuesday, dissecting the Golden Knights season coming to an end. And we invite you to send in your questions using the hashtag Nighttime at Noon. Throw us whatever you got, and we'll try to get to them a little bit later in the show. To the point of lack of goals in the series, Gary. Total goals in the series were 9-8 for Dallas.
Yeah.
And the Stars won 4-1. But the Golden Knights' inability to finish chances. But, opportunistic, sure, for Dallas. And you think about it, I'm sure you had this feeling when they got on the power play in overtime, you thought, whoa, this doesn't look promising. That you just had that sinking feeling that this might not, the game they lost in overtime earlier didn't last, half a minute?
No.
This one didn't last too much longer, inside 4 minutes, and it was all over.
Well, from the moment Kiviranta tied it, I don't think Vegas really had any opportunity after that. Dallas, they were, at that point in time, there was no pressure on Dallas. They were like, hey, let's win it. And Vegas was like, hey, let's not lose it. That was their attitude. And that is paralyzing. It puts you in a terrible mindset, and I also think that throughout the game there were opportunities for members of the Golden Knights to shoot the puck, and they would make that one extra pass. For sure, Hudobin got inside their heads, and these are all things that happen. This is why you can be jumping up and down. They choked. It's a conference final. You're down to four teams, and the four teams that are still alive are all really good. If almost everything isn't going your way, you don't win at this time of year.
Yeah.
The matchups are so good. You have to be clicking in all areas, and frankly, Vegas wasn't there. There's no secret here. They went dry. They went cold at the wrong time of the year.
Interesting that Tyler Seguin said after the game last night that Anton Hudobin reminds him of somebody.
Yeah, Tim Thomas.
Yeah, yeah. And I hadn't thought about that.
Same size, right?
Same size.
Same
not real
square
big.
Head.
Yeah, and it's not always pretty.
Yeah.
It's not that your prototypical butterfly style goalie that plays these days, but battles. Thomas
never
hated
saw,
to be scored on.
Never saw a look on Hudobin's face of exasperation after a goal. And we saw that on Leonard a few times. After he scored, there he looked defeated, and I think that probably because he knew it was going to be a struggle for his team to get any offense back for him. He said before Game 7 against the Canucks, he said to himself, he told me this afterward, I need to be perfect tonight. I need for us to win. I need to post a shutout. He needed to hold them at one last night. And yeah. and actually, I think that the minute they scored one, it was over. He needed to keep them off the board. The psyche of the Golden Knights was such that the minute Dallas got a goal and put a little bit of heat on them, that was it.
I would love to have seen the Golden Knights go to the final, as we all would have.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to beat Tampa Bay this year. They strike me as a team on a mission, Gary, that went what they went through last year.
Yeah.
And they've been able to roll through the playoffs. Columbus in five, Boston in five, could end it tonight against the Islanders in five.
Well, this is interesting. You know, Julien Brisebois looked at his team. What cost us last year? Okay. He went and got Maroon. He went and got Coleman. And I'm missing somebody else. He added one other player.
Maroon,
of
Coleman, Shattenkirk.
Shattenkirk, Bogosian at the deadline. But he got some players that, you know, play a certain style.
Yep.
He added a little heft to his team. And if you're Kelly McCrimmon, you look at your group and say, well, I need someone that that will compete and won't wilt. Because that mentally, Vegas went away. As hard as that is to say and accept, they sagged in game four as soon as Dallas scored. You know, they had a lead in that game, let it get away. Had a lead in game five, let it get away. And it just seemed that the minute that Dallas, you know, figured something out, it was too much for Vegas. So after game four, I texted someone. I said, boy, Brendan Gallagher would have looked good in Vegas' lineup tonight. A player of that ilk that yeah. would have, you know, that no matter what, goes to that blue ice and goes to the net and does things to create and never, ever fades. That's probably not an easy thing for members of the Golden Knights to hear, but Jamie Benn just never stopped.
Yeah.
His will was greater at the end of the day, and his will was greater than that of the Golden Knights, and that's a big part of the storyline here.
Huge goal for them last night.
Yeah.
Pavelski, a huge goal in game four. Let me ask you this. Somebody asked me this question after the game last night. Which one is more difficult to handle, losing this year or losing last year?
Well, last year was weird.
Last year was a farce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was out of your control. So because of that, I'm going to say this year
really?
Is harder.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, to be honest with you, that was, you know, it was a mistake that was beyond their control, and it, you know, kicked off a cataclysmic, series of events that resulted in a loss. You know, play that game 9 out of 10 times, and that doesn't happen. And Vegas, they're up 3-0. They win that game. That game last night, there is nothing weird about that. That was Dallas was better at this point. I think the Golden Knights have a better roster than the Dallas Stars. The Dallas Stars were better for this, 8-day period or whatever it was. It wasn't very long, was it?
No.
Yeah.
Five games.
Yeah, yeah. And every other day, right?
Yeah.
You know, they were better for this little moment in time, and that to me is, I think the Golden Knights could have controlled that.
Last year for me was a more difficult one, more difficult for me to comprehend, just because of how it happened. Now I know it was the first round. But I think they were a better team than San Jose. When you build a 3-0 lead in a seventh game on the road, it takes a horrific sequence of events to have that come apart. And that happened to them last year.
Yeah.
This year, going into the series, I thought, they're a better team than Dallas.
Yeah.
They didn't play like a better team. Over five games, you know, you made the point, Gary, 4-1, 4-1. It's not, okay, lost in six, and they lost in seven, and five games is five games.
I don't think last year's team was good enough to win the Stanley Cup. I think this year's team was.
Yeah, see, I keep coming back to, I don't think anyone's going to beat Tampa.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know what I mean?
Well, it'd be
like,
nice,
you know,
to see it.
So, you know, if Vegas gets hot, you know, Leonard goes into a stratosphere, or Fleury goes in. You know, if Fleury plays the way he did against the Winnipeg Jets in year one, then you get a chance, right? Because I'll tell you what, that Jets team, you go back and look at it and the way they were rolling and the offensive pieces that they had, like, in many ways, Vegas had no business winning that series. And right. But that's what happens at this time of year. That's like the disappointment is fine, but get over it because they play the games for a reason. Last time I checked, the guys over on Dallas, they're getting paid too. Their owner's a billionaire as well. Their GM is a guy who's been around for a long time. Their coach this is the third time he's been to the Stanley. He went to the Cup with the Canucks that lost to your Bruins. He went to the Stanley Cup with the Lightning, and now he's back with Dallas Stars. It's the NHL. It's the cream of the crop at this time of the year. It's stuff happens. I almost said a bad word there.
Yep. You could, what's the old saying? You can say anything once.
Yeah.
And once only.
Yes.
Well, the Golden Knights season is over. The Dallas Stars are in the Stanley Cup final for the first time in 20 years. And they could know their opponent as early as tonight when the Islanders take on Tampa in game 5 of that series, the Lightning up 3-1. It's Dave and Gary with you on a Tuesday nighttime at noon. And when we come back, we'll kind of take a look ahead. You know, where do the Golden Knights go from here? And we'll get to... what do they do about the goalies? That and more after this. Nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It's a feeling you can't describe. Just and like we've been talking to our players last night about just you only get so many cracks at going to the Stanley Cup Finals, and you've got to take advantage of it. And for me as a coach, it's just gratifying for the players. They've worked so hard. They've come together. We've been resilient all year. Being down, well, I think that's 12 games now. We've come from behind. And so I'm just very, very happy for our players, our management, Tom, the owner, all the fans in Dallas, our supporters, our team. So I'm just thrilled for everybody. But when you're behind the bench and you see that puck go in and you know you're going to the Stanley Cup Finals, words can't describe the emotion that comes through. Again, anytime you get here, people are paying an awful price. You need to be rewarded, and we got rewarded tonight. But it's so rare to get to the finals, man. You got to enjoy every minute of it.
That is the voice of Dallas Stars head coach Rick Bowness. Hard not to be happy for a guy like him. No man has spent more time behind an NHL bench, over 2,400 games, be it as an assistant or a head coach. And the Stars going to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in 20 years. They have not been there since the Stars went back-to-back years, 1999 and 2000, won it in 99, and then lost to the New Jersey Devils on a Jason Arnott overtime goal to give the Devils the Cup. Quick reminder for you, friends, that for exclusive Golden Knights gear, visit one of the Golden Knights official team store locations, the Armory located at T-Mobile Arena or the Arsenal located at City National Arena. You can also go online at VegasTeamStore.com today. So Rick Bowness and the Stars to the final.
I don't know if you saw the footage from the end of the game last night. Like Bowness was hugging. He's been with that organization for a little bit, and they went through some real hard times this year. And he was hugging all the, you know, their whole all the people that are there in the bubble with him that were at the game last night, came down to the ice to the bench, and he was kind of leaning in there and hugging everybody. And then they showed him in the dressing room. NHL.com has got a clip of him, and they had the Stars have a board, and for every win that they get in the playoffs, they put a puck into that board. It sticks into it, and you're trying to get to 16, obviously, and they stuck the last one in there, and he said 4 more, and then gave a little bit of a speech, talked about their resiliency, and then said, enjoy your night. And we've been through that feeling, winning the Western Conference Final on the ice in Winnipeg in 2017-18, you know, there's a trophy. You get a trophy when you win the Western Conference Final. And pretty emotional moment for the Stars last night. And you've seen it everywhere. No one is unhappy that Rick Bowness is getting a chance. You know, obviously, if you're a member of the Golden Knights, you wish it was you. But Rick Bowness is a pretty good human.
They went 10-1 in one goal games of the playoffs.
Yeah.
5-0 in games decided after regulation.
I heard someone say today, what team do they remind you of? They remind me of the 1993 Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. Now, they had Patrick Roy, but they won a bunch of games in overtime.
They went 10-0 in overtime.
Yeah,
that year,
right. You know, so, yeah. And then eventually beat the Kings in the final that had Wayne Gretzky after they knocked off the Leafs in a controversial game 7. So, That's who they remind me of in terms of living on the edge.
For the Golden Knights, Gary, as we try to kind of look ahead now, this is still fresh, not even 24 hours after their season came to an end. Where do they go from here? Flat cap for the next few years, right? Yeah. $81.5 million. Projected cap already committed for next year for Vegas, about $65 million.
It starts in net, right?
And at the top of everyone's list is, what do they do in net? Do you envision a scenario where they would be able to keep both Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Leonard?
That's up to Marc-Andre Fleury. I think if he wants to play, I think they're going to try and sign Leonard. I think that Pete DeBoer loves that kind of a goalie. Leonard is at the peak of his game, the top of his game. Is Fleury still a number one? Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I think he can be for sure. What I think is the perfect scenario, and it's hard to do these things when you're sitting down and you're signing a guy to an extension and paying him $7 million a year, it's hard to say to him at that time, the last couple of years of this deal, we're happy to still pay you, but we want you to usher in somebody new at that point in time. That's not where Marc-Andre Fleury was when this deal was signed. But boy, oh boy, if he could come to peace with the situation where he's probably going to play 30% or 40%, and the other guy's going to play 60% or 70%, and still stay in Vegas and still be a big piece of this franchise. Then I think you can do it, and you have a tremendous 1-2 punch in net. I think that Kelly McCrimmon and Pete DeBoer and Marc-Andre Fleury, need to get locked in a boardroom and draw the blinds and have not a knockdown drag 'em out, but have a real honest conversation about expectations from both sides of the fence. Because frankly, what happened with the tweet and the sword in the back of Fleury, like, that can't ever happen again. DeBoer said it was noise, it was external. Fair enough, but Marc-Andre Fleury doesn't want to be in that position where that sort of thing is happening. He wants to feel good about his position and his station with the team, and he should. He's been the most important player in the franchise to this point. That eventually is going to change, though. Father Time waits for no one, and he's going to be 36. I still think he's got a lot to offer as a player, but that to me is, I really think that is the first thing that needs to happen, and it probably needs to happen this week, because if there's going to be a change in direction, Fleury should probably know about that, and Kelly McCrimmon certainly should know about that.
I wonder with Fleury, Gary, if the fact that he's been down this road before in Pittsburgh, right? He's been through this. He's had this happen with Matt Murray. I wonder if it makes it easier for him that he has that experience, or does it go the other way where he says, I can't believe this is happening again?
Yeah. You know what? There's an odd thing here, and the fact is that to be a goalie of Fleury's ability, you have to believe in yourself. You have to have blind faith in yourself. And that probably makes looking in the mirror and realizing, or coming to the self-realization that time has changed. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if that's the case, right? Like the coaching staff made a decision to go one direction. I can't tell you, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you if they had played Fleury the majority of the games that they wouldn't have been in the same position as they were in last night.
Yeah, couldn't score.
But I mean, they could have got to game 5 of the Western Conference final playing Fleury. You know what I mean? I can't tell you that would not have happened. The head coach, that's his job. He uh, he gets to make up the lineup card, and he alone gets to make that decision. The general manager's job is to give him as many tools as he can, and you know, they determined that Malcolm Subban and Marc-Andre Fleury has a duo wasn't good enough, especially if something happened to Flower. So they went and got Robin Lehner. And in somehow in the aftermath of that, Pete DeBoer decided that he wanted to play Robin Lehner. That's his prerogative.
The schedule next year, we don't know yet, right? Now, the league says early December, but that's a very flexible date. You've made this point, Gary, about it, there's going to be some compression to this schedule next season.
Well, right? I don't think they're starting until January. So, you know, the NBA has determined that they're going to start December 20, no earlier than Christmas. They have that Christmas Day as a big day for the NBA. So they're probably looking at that as a point to kick off their season. Now, the NBA is in a different position than the NHL with their TV contract. There is more, now they pay their players a lot more, but there's more money in their TV deal. So hockey is really reliant on gate.
Yeah.
And, you know, look around our world. I'll tell you, I'll put it this way. The seven Canadian teams, no one's sitting in the seats in those buildings in 2020. No one. Right? So is that different in the United States? The other factor is that border remains closed. Now, could they open it up for the NHL? I would think so. Although, you know, when they came to the Blue Jays and they were thinking of teams coming in and out, the Canadian government said no way. It was one thing to bring them all in and keep them in one place. It's another thing to have them crisscrossing across North America and coming in into Canada. They have a different way of looking at things, and they've kept their numbers, you know, pretty down. Like, COVID's still a pretty big factor here, and it's going to determine when the season starts.
I wonder too, Gary, about just as an offshoot to that, the NHL's already had one season here that's been completely thrown out of whack.
Yeah,
I think they want to kind of minimize as much as they can. So next year is going to be thrown out of whack already because it's probably going to start in January.
Yeah,
are they going to want that to end, you know, where it would normally end in June? You know, like middle of June, to not affect a third season.
Yeah, well, if they do that, then it's going to be really compacted. And that's,
they need to have two goals.
Well, I've made this point a number of times that, you know, if you want to win next year, you're going to need two goalies. And, you know, that's the sale to Marc-Andre Fleury is, you know, you're probably going to play, you know, 40-45% of the games. And, you know, if the performance dictates it, you'll play a little bit more. Like, you know, this is a new season and a fresh opportunity. Now, he may be like, no, I want to be the number one. And if I'm not going to do that here, then send me somewhere where I can. And I haven't done the look around, but where does Marc-Andre Fleury fit in as a starter?
I haven't looked at it either. I have looked at, there's a lot of goalies that are going to be out there.
Yep.
Right? You've got Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah.
Robin Lehner. There's
Braden Holtby's going to free agency.
There's a bunch.
The Penguins are going to trade.
They're going to trade Jari or Murray.
Probably Murray. Like, there's going to be some movement here.
Unrestricted free agents for the Golden Knights. Robin Lehner, Tomasz Nosek, John Merrill, Derek Englund. Restricted free agents, Chandler Stephenson and Nick Cousins. So those are the contracts for them that they have to, they got to figure it out whether they want to make an offer or not make an offer, right? Yeah. The RFAs usually
I expect those deals to get done. And
but the UFAs, that's a different.
Well, for Merrill and England, you know, they weren't in the mix here at the end, and it is time for Nick Hague to play regular in the NHL. And there's other guys, Bischoff, Coughlin, those guys, Schultz, you know, there's some depth at that position. Now, that could be an area where they trade. You know what I mean? That could be, you know, you if you want to sign Leonard, you're probably going to have to shed some cap. So that, you know, the blue line is an area where maybe they say, let's part with a big piece in order to, and then just bring in one of the kids. And, you know, we'll figure out, see if that works. And if at the deadline we decide we need to go and grab somebody, we can. Could they go big game hunting? Could they go after Alex Pietrangelo? Well, then, yeah, you're talking about some major surgery.
And then you've got to free up a lot of money.
Yep.
A lot of money.
Because if you're going to sign Leonard and you're going to you know, throw big dollars at Pietrangelo as well, and term and that. I'm not sure that deal fits with where Vegas is going, because frankly, I think Zach Whitecloud is going to emerge into a guy. See, in a not too distant future, Shea Theodore and Zach Whitecloud being one of the best duos in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, you think they'll go that route?
That's down to the road. Me that I think they really would pair very well. Whitecloud goes back and gets the puck very well. Now maybe you determine that Whitecloud needs his own pairing. Like he was Vegas' second best defenseman in the playoffs for me, in particular in this series against Dallas.
You felt so bad for that kid last night.
Oh,
you know,
look on his face.
Yeah, he was sitting in the. I was actually, I don't want to say proud of him. I'm not his uncle or his father or anything like that. But
at last,
he was sitting in the penalty box for a little bit, and he was hanging his head. And I was thinking, and I think Mark Stone was on his way over to the penalty box to say, "Get out of there," you know. This isn't on you. And I think Zach came to that realization himself and got up and got out of there. I'm sure he's going to feel, you know, real bad. That penalty, Dallas Hakan, coach of the Anaheim Ducks, texted me this morning and said, "I hate that penalty. I played 1,000 games with no skill, and I think I shot it over the glass on purpose twice." and Zach Whitecloud has a lot of skill and is really good at going back and getting that puck and turning it around and moving it up the ice. He was skating towards the end boards in a race with another player, and he flung his stick at the puck to knock it away from that other guy. And through, you know, the confluence of circumstances, it ended up over the glass, and he has to sit down for two. Really unfortunate. Pete DeBoer used a bad word to describe the penalty.
It sucks, right? There's no discretion from the referees.
Nope.
They can't. It's clear cut over the glass, and it's a penalty. But it felt horrible for the 23-year-old defenseman. The Golden Knights' season coming to an end last night. They bow out in 5 games in the Western Conference Final to the Dallas Stars, who are in the Cup Final for the first time in 20 years. Dave Gosher, Gary Lawless with you, nighttime at noon. And a reminder, Golden Knights fans, the best way to show your team spirit is to grab yourself a Golden Knights license plate as you make your way throughout Nevada and beyond. A Golden Knights license plate is a great way to night up your vehicle and show everyone on the road the team that you root for. Go to dmvnv.com/plates. to show your pride and get your Golden Knights license plate today. Dave and Gary with you on a Tuesday nighttime at noon. We'll have more in a moment on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to nighttime at noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It's a special situation, you know, when you get traded and you don't really know what you're going to come to, and I couldn't have been received by a better group of guys. It's a special team in here. They've been great, and it's disappointing, obviously, because hell of a group, hell of a team. It's been a little bit of a special journey, but I couldn't ask for more from the guys and from the whole organization.
And that is Robin Lehner. I'm not sure if that's his final game as a member of the Golden Knights or not. An unrestricted free agent after the loss to the Dallas Stars last night. A quick reminder for you, Bill and Carol Foley have created the Foley Food and Wine Society to celebrate 3 of their greatest passions in life: world-class wines, exceptional cuisine, and outstanding travel destinations. And as a member of the society, you'll have a chance to enjoy their entire portfolio of properties around the globe. But the Foley Food and Wine Society offers an exclusive membership opportunity to join like-minded individuals who seek to experience the finer things in life. Check it out today online at foleyfoodandwinesociety.com. Robin Lehner's one of a handful of unrestricted free agents the Golden Knights have here heading into the offseason, Gary. And it's, you've touched on some of the younger guys. There's always that balance within an organization of you have your established veterans, and the Golden Knights have those to a large extent. But, you know, now they're going to be going into season 4, whenever that begins.
And we started to see it this year, implementing some fresh blood, some young blood, some of their draft picks. Nick Hague, Cody Glass, Peyton Krebs is a real intriguing guy, right? He was in the bubble the whole way through. I know Kelly McCrimmon said, look, best case scenario, he gets to play in the playoffs. Worst case scenario is he goes through this whole experience with the team and what it's like to play in the playoffs. But they've got certainly some guys they feel are kind of on the cusp of contributing on a regular basis when they get going next year.
Yeah, you mentioned Peyton Krebs. I'm not sure I wouldn't have tried to get a look at him at some point in time. Obviously, really hard to put him into the lineup. Never played in an NHL game before. He is a smaller guy still at this point in time. But when the offense dried up, you know, he has a lot more, he has more offensive ability than at least four of the forwards that you were using. Maybe five. And, you know, I don't know if I would have wanted to put him at center in between Stone and Pacioretty, but, you know, put him on the wing, lower down in your lineup, and if it doesn't work out, then double shift somebody, right? Yeah. You know, now, really easy for me to say that from, you know, studio at City National Arena for Pete DeBoer, who would have been standing on the bench holding his breath every time the kid was in the defensive zone. You know, because you just don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, I think that I think Peyton Krebs, he's a very intriguing player to me. I think he has some of that will to be a very high-end player. He's got a good burst. He sees the ice really well. That number one center spot for Vegas, they need a little bit more skill there.
The other guy that I find intriguing, Gary, and we saw him in glimpses this year, but had a hard time staying healthy, and that's Cody Glass. And you wonder, as they move forward now, you know, is he somebody that, you know, could center one of your lines? You know, could your centers, as they move forward, be, for the sake of argument, Carlson, Glass, Waugh, Nosek, Cousins, there's a lot of guys in that mix.
Yep.
You know, I didn't mention Paul Stastny because, you know, if you're going to try and keep Robin Leonard and Fleury, and I don't know if they're going to do that or not, you've got to free up the money somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I wonder if Glass, you know, with all this time now, he hasn't played a game in months.
Well,
I saw a picture
of him the other day. He was at a blood drive for the Folded Flag Foundation, I believe, and he looks bigger. And I have been told that he has taken this, he's kind of taken a page out of the Zach Whitecloud book and really kind of, you know, used this opportunity to get bigger, to get better, and to put himself in a position to be an NHL regular and stay healthy.
Hasn't played a game in a long time. Played half the season for the Golden Knights, just 39 games. But, you know, a lot to look forward to for this team, no question about it. Also a very disappointing end to this season. Golden Knights getting to the conference final, and it's off the charts when you try to strip away the emotion, what they've done in 3 years. Cup final in the first year, two trips to the conference final in their first three as well. Of course, stay tuned later today, the Insider Show with Ryan Wallace and Darren Millard. Nighttime at noon tomorrow, Darren will be joined by Shane Knighty. My thanks to Jared Justice for hosting us here in the Lotus Studios. We had some web problems at CNA. Also, a thanks to Garrett Calloway as well. Talk to you next time, nighttime at noon on Fox Sports, Las Vegas.